Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Woody, we got to get you out of the traffic bit. You're trying like hell for the company to say, all right, you don't have to do it anymore. No, you're trying really hard. Hey, Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk joins us right now. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Yo, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, Mike, if we wanted to, almost all year long, we could just do nothing but talk about the quarterback position in the NFL, and I think the NFL would absolutely love it. What a crazy, crazy week. He caught me by surprise down here a little bit. Were you surprised Tom Brady's retirement on the Miami Beach?
Oh, I was stunned. Absolutely stunned. We had just posted an item an hour earlier congratulating him on the one-year anniversary of his fake retirement, because it was February 1 of last year that he retired, when actually what he was doing was quitting on the Buccaneers and trying to get to the Miami Dolphins. We know that now. We didn't know it at the time. This time he says it's for good. I think he believes it's for good. I also realize that he is human and that he can change his mind, and that who knows what will happen at some point in the future. But it sure seems like he's done. And the thing that was weird about it, he created the impression that he just rolled out of bed, went down to the ocean, recorded the video, and posted it on his phone. I've seen suggestions that that thing was already done and in the can. I mean, why does it have to be this way? Why do we have to work so hard to contrive something that looks authentic and spontaneous? It was just weird that that step needed to be taken. And I wonder how long he was carrying around that phone video. And frankly, whether or not, if he's going to retire anyway, he dropped it when he did, because he's got that movie coming out today that he's a producer of it. So he's got skin in the game, and he wants people to go see that thing. And even if you're, I'm not saying he's phony retiring to create free publicity, but I've spent a lot of time this week thinking that he recognized and welcomed the opportunity to get his name out there in the 2 days before they want people to show up and plunk down money to watch 80 for Brady.
Well, speaking of Brady, and the reason I brought him up first, Greg Olson's been really good at Fox, and we thought that weeks ago, and now that we've seen him on the bigger stage in these big games, how do they move Tom Brady into that position and move him into the two position, especially if he has another really good game and their biggest one in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's the problem. And you're going to have 100 million people watching it. And if Olsen brings it the way that he has, it makes it very awkward when you knock him out. Because what it does, it makes him sympathetic. It makes him kind of like a broadcasting martyr. And it's going to make people more inclined to be hypercritical of Tom Brady, because the affinity for Greg Olsen will create a sense of defensiveness and protectiveness. And people are going to be like, well, we're predisposed to think Tom Brady's no good. So it just puts more pressure on Brady to really do that job well. And I think it's going to be hard for him, because he has a hard time being candid and authentic anyway. He doesn't say what he thinks. Is he going to be critical of players? Is he going to be old man yelling at clouds? Where's that sweet spot between telling us that we're seeing less than ideal football versus fawning all over the athletes versus just being a cranky old man who's upset about everything?
Well, and then the other guy, so we've been talking about Romo for weeks down here, that he just looks like he lost his fastball. I've wondered how much work he's putting in during the week. You know, I don't know if people are talking to him at CBS. Like, Tony, you got to work on some things here, man. I'm paying you a lot of money. We need a better showing. What's your take on Romo this year, especially?
Well, you know, I don't know what the reason is. Is it possible that he made his money and he's just mailing it in now? He's not working as hard as he used to? Or did he never work all that hard and we didn't notice it because his style was so different than what we had seen in the past? Remember when he first started, he had that habit of telling folks
what was going to happen. Right.
Yeah. And others in broadcasting were irritated by that because he had inside information. He goes to practice. This isn't some guy that's gleaning from whole cloth what's happening based upon careful film study of all teams over X number of years. He's at practice. He sees the formations. He sees what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen because he has access to it. Other broadcasters do as well, and they don't say it. They let it all breathe, and they let it play out. So I don't know if he's lost that ability, if he doesn't pay attention, or if he's just stopped doing it because he was getting pressured to stop doing it. But that was the one thing that really set him apart at first. But he still has the same kind of annoying sound effects and quirks that annoy some people, and others, they don't. I'm the exact opposite of everyone else. Like, they loved him at first, and now they soured on him. I was of the, like, I don't get it mindset at first, and now I've gotten used to him just because I'm a creature of habit. And I take it for what it is, and it's part of the game, and it doesn't really bother me that he has these non sequiturs, and he starts a sentence and then pivots to something else, and he doesn't really make sense. And, you know, I'm used to it. I like it. So the bottom line is, what are they going to do? They're paying him $18 million a year. He's 2 years into a 10-year contract. Oof. What can you do, fire him and buy him out? So, Joe, either he's not working as hard as he used to, or our tastes have changed, or he doesn't know the people in the sport the way he used to. He's 6 seasons removed from playing. 6 seasons. And I think that's part of it, too. And I know that guys who get into the business as analysts, like studio personnel, I've told them in the past that the biggest challenge for you is to be a fan of the game, not a player. Because your knowledge of the guys who are still in the sport because they were in it with you is only going to carry you so far. At some point, you've got to rise above that. That's not going to be in your tool bag anymore. All those guys are going to be retired.
Right.
So you have to approach the game like a fan would, reading about it all the time, thinking about it all the time. That's the only way to have staying power as an analyst. You truly have to embrace that mindset of a fan. And some guys, you know, they feel like it's beneath them because they played at a high level. I'm not going to operate like the people who were chasing me around for autographs. You've got to have that mindset if you want to be a long-term success, maybe not just as a studio analyst, but also as a booth analyst at the games. You've got to always be thinking about it. You know, I was alarmed that Romo didn't seem to be aware of the whole Burrowhead thing. Remember when that came up late in the game?
Yeah.
And they were talking about Burrowhead, and he acted like he didn't know what they were talking about. Who that was paying any attention to the run-up to the game wasn't aware of Burrowhead? How could you be oblivious to that when you're the guy who's calling the game? That, to me, was a big red flag.
Well, let me ask you about another one down here, bringing it back here to South Florida. Vic Fangio, a couple days ago, we thought it was a done deal. Then, all of a sudden, Denver and San Francisco, and Vic said, oh, no, it's not done yet. I mean, and it finally happens. What was your take on what happened for a couple of days before finally taking the job down here as defensive coordinator for the Dolphins?
Well, I think somebody leaked prematurely to NFL Network that the deal was done, and the deal wasn't done. And I reached out to Fangio's agent yesterday, and I never heard back from him. But there's chatter on the grapevine. I heard some stuff from folks who were in Mobile for the Senior Bowl that Vic may have either parted ways with his agent or just decided he's going to take it from here on this deal. But there was some, as I understand it, frustration emanating from Vic that word got out. And, you know, there may have been some finger pointing. Was it the agent? Was it the Dolphins? Who leaked it? Who ran their mouth before they should have? Because the 49ers were definitely in play. There have been reports that Fangio did talk to Kyle Shanahan about becoming the defensive coordinator of the 49ers once it was clear that D'Amico Ryans was becoming coach of the Texans. And so, and it's funny, Joe, and you can't control the way people react to things, but it would be very wrong to assume that just because Fangio is ultimately taking the job, the report from Sunday was right all along. No, it wasn't, because it wasn't a done deal. And somebody said it was a done deal before it was a done deal, and it took on a life of its own before Fangio was ready to make the commitment. But he ultimately made the commitment, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. He's going to be the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins, and that was clearly Mike McDaniel's first choice. You know, I had heard a couple of weeks ago that once Josh Boyer was out, that job number one was to get Vic Fangio in.
Yeah, but let me just have having him as the defensive coordinator with his resume and the group of guys he's got, the core going to be back with the how much better they get with his system?
Well, here's the reality. If you're going to change the system, you may need to change some of the talent. The Vikings went through that this year. They've had 4-3 forever. They bring in a Fangio disciple in Ed Donatell. And so you got to sit down and compare the two systems. You got to ask yourself, what do I need? Right. What do I have? How can I teach these guys? Do I need different personnel? What different personnel do I need? Or do I just use elements of the old system? So there's a lot of teaching that needs to be done. There's an adjustment that needs to be done. This is not some easy thing. And we've seen so many coordinators move this offseason. You lose some continuity. Even if you're not happy with the ultimate performance of the coordinator you have, you are going back to square one in a lot of ways, and that's going to be the challenge for Fangio, trying to come in there and change up a system that, you know, predates Mike McDaniel. This isn't a one-year thing. That was one of the selling points of last year's coaching change. Hey, the defensive coordinator is still going to be there, and they do that thing where they get all the guys at the line of scrimmage. You don't know who's going to drop into coverage and who's going to blitz, and, you know, how much of that is still going to be part of the attack. But you may take a little bit of a step back here in the hopes of eventually taking two steps forward.
All right, so the other story, speaking of quarterbacks, getting back to the quarterback thing, Sean Payton, what do you think he gets out of Russell Wilson, and how much does he come in and go, hey, Russell, you got to change some things, man. From the outside, it just doesn't look good, and you're not going anywhere, and I'm not going anywhere, but I got to get more than 16 touchdowns and 11 picks in 15 games and score almost 17 points a game. What do you think happens in this relationship? How much can Sean help Russell Wilson?
Well, think back to 2 years ago when it first became abundantly clear that Russell Wilson had concerns about the Seahawks. His agent went on the record and said that Russell does not want to be traded, but he would accept a trade to four teams: the Bears, the Cowboys, the Raiders, or the Saints. Sean Payton was the head coach of the Saints at the time. So Russell Wilson has had Sean Payton on his radar for what he can do with a quarterback. And this is where it becomes talent versus system. And we don't know how much of the struggles of Russell Wilson in 2022 were the result of Nathaniel Hackett trying to jam square peg into round hole.
Right.
Not relaxing and adjusting and revising his system to suit the talents and to avoid the limitations of Russell Wilson. I guarantee you, Sean Payton's offense will be constructed from the ground up with the mindset of getting the most out of Russell Wilson. And right now, I don't know. Was it Hackett? Was it Wilson? I don't know. If Wilson stinks this year, I will know with 100% certainty that it was Wilson, not Payton. Somebody very smart, and I love stealing the ideas of smart people. I can't say who it was because it was somebody who's high up with one of the teams, but pointed out to me recently, if you have a great coach, that gives you a lot of freedom as a member of a front office. Because if the team is struggling, you know it's not the coach. It's got to be something else. If you don't have a great coach and the team is struggling, maybe it's the coach, which complicates your effort to diagnose. You can't solve until you can diagnose. If you have a great coach and it's a given he's a great coach, that's off the table when it's time to figure out what the problem is. The best example I've been using all week is you got a great car, right? And you have a Ferrari engine in it, and the car's not running right. Well, you know it's not the engine. The engine is top of the line, best right. You can get. So it's got to be something else. Okay, good. Makes it easier to figure out what it is and fix it. That's the value of having a great coach. And that's why, you know, at the end of the day, giving up a low first-round pick and flip-flop of a second- and third-rounder, it may have been a little bit of a steal here for the Broncos, because there aren't many truly great head coaches in the NFL. And Sean Payton, from the work he puts in, the attention to detail, mapping out his game plan week in and week out based upon the defense he's facing, being very creative in how he comes up with his plays, always thinking, installing new plays, the walkthrough in the ballroom at the hotel the morning of the game. That's the kind of stuff he's going to do. He's never turned off. He's never shut down. And people say, oh, these guys make too much money. When you're a head coach who really does it the right way, you never turn it off. And that's what you're being compensated for, turning your life over to this job.
Yeah, no question about it. I was going to get in the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I know we're just about out of time here, but the Aaron Rodgers stuff, like, he's not retiring. I mean, I don't want to say he's not giving up $110 million. And he can talk, I'm not going to San Fran at the golf tournament yesterday. And I just find his acting, he went to my school, it just gets so old. I don't know, maybe it's good for business and I should have a better attitude because he's still a really good football player. What's your take on Aaron Rodgers real quickly?
Well, look, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but you better be ready to tiptoe on eggshells around the delicate genius that is Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, the Packers are dealing with that now. If they want to disengage with him, it's not as easy as it was 15 years ago to disengage with Brett Favre. All they had to do with Favre was go to him and say, hey, we need to know an answer right now as to whether or not you're playing in 2008, because they knew if they went to him in February, he'd say, well, if you need to know now, I'm not playing. And it worked. You can't play Aaron Rodgers that way. So, Joe, look, I don't think he's retiring. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure he's going to leave the Packers, because I don't think he wants to go somewhere else and not win a Super Bowl, not get to a Super Bowl, and allow the narrative to be fashioned that maybe it wasn't the Packers that failed him. Maybe part of the blame is on him. You know, that's why the 49ers would be a dangerous destination for him. Because if they'd fail to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, maybe it is Aaron Rodgers. And one last point. Here's the ultimate reason why he's not retiring. If he retires now, he and Tom Brady go into the Hall of Fame the same weekend. And when you fill out the marquee for that Hall of Fame weekend, it's Tom Brady in giant letters, and it's special guest star Aaron Rodgers right down the bottom.
Mike, that's a great way to...
frankly, hey, Joe, that's J.J. Watt now. J.J. Watt's got to be pissed. J.J. Watt was the star of the 2028 right. Hall of Fame weekend until Brady retired.
You're right. I didn't think of that one. Like, really? Tom, you couldn't wait one more year, please? Mike, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, pal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.